Our scripture reading and text this morning is 2 Chronicles and chapter 26, page 478, if you're using one of the Bibles from the church, 2 Chronicles chapter 26. Hear now the word of the Lord. And all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king instead of his father Amaziah. He built Eloth and restored it to Judah after the king slept with his fathers. Uzziah was 16 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. And he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah had done. He set himself to seek God in the days of Zechariah, who instructed him in the fear of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. He went out and made war against the Philistines and broke through the wall of Gath and the wall of Jabna and the wall of Ashdod. And he built cities in the territory of Ashdod and elsewhere among the Philistines. God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians, who lived in Gerbaal, and against the Meunites. The Ammonites paid tribute to Uzziah, and his fame spread even to the border of Egypt, for he became very strong. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and at the valley gate and at the angle and fortified them. And he built towers in the wilderness and cut out many cisterns. For he had large herds, both in Shephelah and in the plain, and he had farmers and vine dressers in the hills and in the fertile lands, for he loved the soil. Moreover, Uzziah had an army of soldiers fit for war in divisions, according to the numbers in the muster made by Jeiel the secretary and Maaseiah the officer, under the direction of Hananiah, one of the king's commanders. The whole number of the heads of fathers' houses of mighty men of valor was 2,600. Under their command was an army of 307,500 who could make war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. And Uzziah prepared for all the army shields, spears, helmets, coats of mail, bows, and stones for slinging. In Jerusalem he made machines invented by skillful men to be on the towers and the corners to shoot arrows and great stones. And his fame spread far, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. But when he was strong, he grew proud to his destruction. For he was unfaithful to the Lord his God and entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. But Azariah the priest went in after him with 80 priests of the Lord who were men of valor, and they withstood King Uzziah and said to him, "It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for you have done wrong, and it will bring you no honor from the Lord God." Then Uzziah was angry. Now he had a censer in his hand to burn incense, and when he became angry with the priests, leprosy broke out on his forehead in the presence of the priests in the house of the Lord by the altar of incense. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked at him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead. And they rushed him out quickly, and he himself hurried to go out because the Lord had struck him. And King Uzziah was a leper to the day of his death, and being a leper lived in a separate house, for he was excluded from the house of the Lord. And Jotham, his son, was over the king's household, governing the people of the land. Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, from first to last, Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, wrote. And Uzziah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the burial field that belonged to the kings, for they said, "He is a leper." And Jotham, his son, reigned in his place. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the Lord's word will abide and remain forever. Well, one day, a couple of weeks ago, I was making my way through 2 Chronicles, plodding along, only to come to chapter 26. And it hit me. You know how that happens. You're reading along the Bible and something hits you. It resonates with you. It speaks to you. I hope you have that. This hit me. It hit me as a warning. It hit me as something that I needed to hear. It struck me as something that I think we all need to hear. 2 Chronicles. I most think that it was written about 400 BC, which would put it after the return of the exiles, in a time in Israel's history when Jerusalem was a far cry from what it had been earlier. They were fewer in number. They were fewer in influence. The temple was smaller. Everything was smaller. And I think it's fair to say that they were going through an identity crisis as a people. Not only did they have to wrestle with the fact that things weren't the glory days as they once had been, but maybe even more particularly, they had to have wondered what will become of the Davidic throne that had been promised to our fathers. Would it ever be replaced? Would it ever return? They were living in that time without a king. The chronicler writes to them, and he's reminding them of their history. He's reminding them of their monarchy. And it wasn't all good, was it? In fact, I would argue more was bad than good. There were a few good kings, but there were many bad kings. And Uzziah was a little of both, as we have just read in chapter 26. And today, as we look at chapter 26, my intention is not to make this into a moralistic lesson, but it is to remind us of two very important things. Number one, God gives grace to the humble, and Israel shouldn't have despised their small stature and small number. And neither should we. But more than that, it is a reminder that what Israel needed most back then is the very thing we need the most today. They needed not another monarchy in the image of the Old Testament, but they needed the Messiah King himself. And that's exactly what we need as well. We need to remember who our King is. And so God gives grace to the humble. And chapter 26 reminds us that the king Israel needed is the king who has come, and his name is Jesus, and all that we need is found in him. And so this morning, I want to consider two things with you as we move through the narrative. First, his reign, the positive side of the chapter, and then secondly, follow that up with his ruin, which is a warning to us. His reign and his ruin. And I want to consider with you under this first point, his reign, three things. The context of his reign, the character of his reign, and the cause of the success in his reign. And so first, what's the context? What's the backdrop behind chapter 26? Well, chapter 25 tells us that his dad, Amaziah, had just squared off in civil war with Israel from the north, and he had lost as a direct result of his own idolatry. After a victory, he set up idol gods and bowed down to them. And it is a reminder, isn't it, that God will have no rivals, that God will give his glory to none other, that God is jealous for his worship. He is jealous for our affections and our loyalty and our allegiance. And he reminds Amaziah of this reality. So when chapter 25 concludes, Judah has its tail between its legs, and we're kingless. We're kingless. Enter Uzziah. We're told in verse 1, that when Uzziah was anointed king, he was 16 years old. 16. Now, how does a 16-year-old begin to take on the pressure cooker of being the king of Judah? Well, it would have taken a lot of grace. It would have taken a lot of wisdom. It would have taken a lot of counselors around him. It would have taken a lot of prayer. And those are the things that we find early on in his ministry. All those things were there. Notice then the character of his reign. Three things. First of all, it was a reign initially of integrity. Look with me at verse 4. Verse 4, and he did, verse 4, what was right in the eyes of the Lord. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, and that is really all that matters ultimately, is what is right in the eyes of the Lord. That is what it means to have integrity. To have integrity is to do the right thing no matter what, no matter who's there, no matter if you're with your friends, no matter if you're alone, no matter what, you're doing the right thing because you're always driven by this reality that you live coram Deo, which means in Latin, before the face of God. That's what it means to be people of integrity. Remember boys and cadets last year, we talked about this. We talked about what it meant to be young men of integrity, not just when you're at church on Sunday, not just when mom and dad are watching, but when you're all alone, doing the right thing for the glory of God. His was a ministry of integrity, and also, secondly, a ministry of humility. Verse 5, he set himself to, and then it says, seek. He set himself to seek God. To seek, said one, to seek God means to orient one's life toward him in active faith and obedience. To seek God means to orient one's life toward him in active faith and obedience. It is to seek him with all that you have, with all that you possess. It is to seek him with your skills, your talents, your treasures, your time, your energies. It is to put him first in your life. It is to seek to know more about him in his word. Not just making God another spoke on the wheel of other things, but it is to see that God is at the very core and center and hub of the wheel of life. It is to see that everything that we do revolves around him. And so Christianity isn't just some secondary matter that we take on and put on a certain day of the week or in front of certain people, but it is the very core and essence of who we are, a life lived by faith before the watching eyes of God who has delivered us and redeemed us by his blood in Jesus Christ. Notice with me, verse 5, he set himself to seek God in the days of Zechariah. And then it says, who instructed him? Zechariah instructed him in the fear of God. Isn't that interesting? That here, Uzziah is being instructed in the fear of God. He's not being instructed, at least it's not said, in the Leadership 101. He's not being instructed here in the success or failure of world history in terms of warfare. Now, that might have been the case. He might have been educated, as a king would have been, at these things. But the highlight here is that he's being instructed in what? The fear of God. The fear of God, and that's what he needed most. As a 16-year-old young man, Uzziah, you see, was teachable. He was moldable. He was being mentored. Young people, there are plenty of fools to watch in this world. But we will only grow in grace and grow closer to the Lord Jesus Christ when we have our eyes on those who are wise, those who are holy and happy in Jesus. This was the exhortation of the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Philippians, when in chapter 3 he says, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if any think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. And then he says this, brothers, join in imitating me, and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. So look for godly examples. Look for people who are walking in faith and obedience. Look for people who aren't content with where they're at in the Christian life, but like the Apostle Paul, want to keep going and want to keep moving and want to keep growing and maturing. That's what Paul is saying to the brothers. And that's what it seems like Uzziah was doing early on in his ministry. He was listening to the wisdom, watching the godliness of Zechariah, who is instructing him, no doubt, both in word and in living example of the fear of God, of what it looks like to live coram Deo. So the character of his reign early on was one of integrity, it was one of humility, and this all led to then productivity, military success. Success in war and building weapons. And it's clear from the passage, isn't it, as we read it earlier, that there were many alongside of Uzziah that were using their gifts. And it struck me, just as we read it a few moments ago, it struck me that's very similar to the church in the sense that we all have, as members of the body of Christ, gifts that when we exercise them together is for the good of one another and the building up of the body of Christ. All using our gifts, all using our talents, all using our energies, all using our time together collectively for the extension of the kingdom and the building up of one another, for the coming alongside of our young people, for investing in them. We're all using our gifts together for one another, and ultimately for the glory of God. And so we see productivity here, don't we? It's almost like everything he touches turns to gold early on. Now, what was the cause of this success? Was it his education? Was it his leadership ability? Was it because he put smart people around him? Ultimately, the answer is in verse 5. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. God made him prosper. It's as if the chronicler to the generation who was first hearing this, 400 BC, who were left without a king, who are left wondering if David's throne would ever return, who are looking around them going, this isn't what it used to be. These are not the glory days. Life after exile is not life before exile. And it's as if God is saying to that generation, don't worry about your size, don't worry about your stature. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Did you notice the end of verse 15, what it says? And his fame spread far. Why? For he was marvelously helped. No doubt helped by other men and women and people. But ultimately, he was marvelously helped. He was marvelously guided and sustained and strengthened by the Lord God Almighty himself. It's a constant, recurring theme in the Bible, both Old and New Testament. We hear it over and over again. This promise, this invitation, that God gives grace to the humble. God offers himself, he offers his divine aid to those who are humble. What does it mean to be humble? It means to be teachable, as we see Uzziah being. It means to be self-suspicious of one's own abilities. It means to be prayerful. It means to be watchful. It means to serve others. It means not so much, as C.S. Lewis said, thinking less of yourself as thinking of yourself less. It means recognizing that you're in the position you're in and you're unable to do it in your own strength. You ever felt that way before, parents? You ever felt that way before, office bearers? You ever felt that way before, business owners? You ever thought that way before, young people, as you're in a position of leadership? I don't know how I'm going to do this. And that's exactly the place where I think you need to be. I don't know how I'm going to do this. When he sought the Lord, God prospered him. God gives grace to the humble. Yet chapter 26 is not all a story of good news, is it? We see his reign, and we're impressed with it. One of integrity, one of humility, teachability, productivity. But it doesn't end there. Chapter 26 goes on, and I want to give a little bit more time now to his ruin, secondly, his ruin. It's a tragic story of a man who had it all and lost everything. Why? Why did he? That five-letter word, pride. Pride. I want you to notice in the remaining passage three marks or manifestations of pride in Uzziah's life. The first is that he was self-deceived. His perception of himself changed. The reason for that was because of success. Verse 15 says, "For he was marvelously helped." Notice it ends, "till he was strong." Verse 16, "But when he was strong, he grew proud to his destruction." When he became strong, in one sense, things were strong. Things were going well. Things were successful. When we measure things on the basis of what we see, sometimes we think, I'm strong. Things are working. It was in that season that he then became proud of his abilities, proud of his actions, proud of his accomplishments. It is when things are going well, when there is success, that we are most vulnerable. And we need to be on greatest guard. Galatians 6, verse 3, Paul says, "For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself." Self-deception. More times than I wish to have known and read in the last 6 months to a year are the high-profile, well-known, popular preachers who are now flat on their faces out of the ministry because success got to their heads. Story after story after story. An unwillingness to be accountable to anyone. But it's not just for those who are famous. It's something that we all wrestle with. It's something we all need to be aware of in our own lives. He was self-deceived. He looked around him and said, "Look at this kingdom." And he became proud. He no longer sought the Lord and his help and his assistance. One of the ways we can tell, one of the ways I can tell in my life if I'm proud is my prayer life. Think about your prayer life in the last week. Think about your prayer life in the last month. Where there's an absence of prayer, there is the presence of pride. I can do it. I can handle it. I'm successful. I'm strong. He was first self-deceived. He was secondly self-absorbed. He cared more about himself than God and others. Look with me at verses 16, 17, and 18, if you would. "But when he was strong, he grew proud to his destruction." For he was unfaithful to the Lord his God and entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. But Azariah the priest went in after him with 80 priests of the Lord who were men of valor. And they withstood King Uzziah and said to him, "It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for you have done wrong, and it will bring you no honor from the Lord God." But to Uzziah, apparently being the political leader was not enough. He wanted more. He wanted also to become the spiritual leader. He wanted to become one of the priests, maybe the high priest himself. And maybe you're thinking to yourself, is this really all that bad? It's not like he was worshiping Baal. He was offering this to God, Yahweh. The point is, this was forbidden by God. God's law clearly said this is only to be done by the priests, the sons of Aaron. You see, friends, no matter how high your position is, you have no right to become a law to yourself. Listen to me, fathers, husbands, you have no right to become a law to yourself. You are accountable to Christ. And you are not to lord it over. Elders, deacons, office bearers, we are accountable to the Lord Jesus Christ. Politicians, business owners, those in high positions in society, we have no right to become a law to ourselves. We have no right to change the law. We have no right to justify it on the basis of our own sentimentality, perhaps, or our own ability to affect change, whatever the case might be. And don't miss this, the courage of Azariah. He had 80 helpers, he had 80 other priests, but don't miss the courage. Who do they confront? Who do they stand up to and say, this is wrong? The Bible says this is wrong. God said this is only for the priest. Who did they confront? The king of all the land. That takes some courage, doesn't it? To stand up to the king and say, this is wrong. Their fear of God was bigger than their fear of man. So Uzziah here, he begins to wander. When he becomes self-deceived in his pride, he does things that are contrary to the law of God. When he becomes self-absorbed and only focused on his own wishes and his own kingdom. And then he also then thirdly becomes self-defensive. Notice how he responds to correction, to confrontation. Verse 19, then Uzziah was angry. Then Uzziah was angry. It's been said that anger is a signal that an idol is being poked. Anger is a signal that an idol is being poked. And what idol was being poked in Uzziah's life? Power. Authority. And so he became angry. What makes you angry? Are you listening to yourself? Are you listening to your emotions, your responses? Are you listening to your anger? And have you ever asked the question, now why am I getting angry about this? Could it be that an idol is being poked? What is that idol? What is it that I want? What is it that I need? What is it that I'll get angry about if I don't have? One said, when you become as powerful and successful as Uzziah, you can start thinking that you're accountable to no one. That's a good test of humility, he writes. How well do you respond to correction? Do you examine your heart before God and admit it if you're wrong? Or are you angry and defensive? Think of another king. A king who was a man after God's own heart, though a king who was incredibly sinful and selfish, King David, when confronted, how did he respond, boys and girls? Well, Psalm 32 and Psalm 51 lays that out for us. He was humbled, wasn't he? He was humbled, and he turned to the Lord in repentance, and he was refreshed. When we're confronted with sin, we can either get angry and defensive and lash out and blame the other person or the situation, or we can examine ourselves rightly in the light of God's word, and as the Spirit convicts, we can turn from sin and find refreshing grace in the presence of Christ at his mercy seat. Where there is joy and where there is gladness, says David in Psalm 32. Sadly, the story of Uzziah doesn't have a happy ending. I wish that it did. But it doesn't. He becomes a leper. He dies a leper. I want you to notice all the things that Uzziah lost because of his pride. And there are many more, but just consider a few. He lost his health. He lost his position of influence. He lost his community. He lost his peace. This is why I think he runs out of the temple. If God could strike him with leprosy on the spot, what would keep God from striking him dead on the spot? And so he has no peace. He loses his honor. Sin always destroys. It never profits. Sin, I just read this recently, sin often tastes sweet, but it always becomes bitter in the stomach. Think about that. Why are we drawn to sin? Because it tastes good. Momentarily, perhaps. But it never ends well. It always tastes bitter. You've experienced this, haven't you? Where you've tasted sin and it tasted sweet at the time. And then suddenly you have this bitter ache in your gut. Sometimes physically. Because sin always leads to death. Sin always destroys. And we see this as a sobering reminder and warning in the life of Uzziah. Pride was his downfall. What if you do if you're in a position similar to Uzziah? You haven't sought the Lord for quite some time. Your prayer life has been dry and empty and maybe non-existent. Maybe you've never sought the Lord, but you've been trusting in your own strength, your own righteousness. You're a self-defensive person. You're constantly blaming others for your problems. Chapter 26 of 2 Chronicles teaches us that God opposes the proud, but he gives grace, and not just a little grace, but abundant grace to the humble. And the most humble thing that you can do this morning is seek the Lord. The most humble thing you can do is throw off self-deception, self-absorption, self-justification, and seek God and Christ. And where do you find God? You find God in Christ, and you find God in Christ where? At the cross. And where is the cross? It's a place of what? Of incredible weakness. And there you will find the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the true King that Israel needed, the true King that the world so desperately needs, and the King that you and I need each and every day. The King truly after God's own heart. The King who is full of truth and also grace. full of power and mercy, abundant to forgive. And says Jesus to all who hear, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Seek the Lord, that he may be found. Turn again and experience times of refreshment from the presence of the Lord. Learn from Uzziah the perils and destruction of pride. And find yourself not in self-reformation, but in turning in repentance and faith to the mercy seat of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is willing and ready to forgive. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, we are weak, but you are strong. We pray that we would always remember this. And in times that we forget, Holy Spirit, would you bring it to our attention? Thank you, Lord, for your word and the way in which it speaks to us and it comes to us. May we make ourselves readily available to it so that it can wash over us and convict us where we need it and build us up in the most holy faith. Help us and guide us. And thank you for good news in Christ today. Thank you that him has found all that we need, all that we long for, all that we lack. In him has found refreshment and joy and gladness in his presence. And so may we seek the Lord and may we find him in Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And may we seek him over and over and over again. This we ask and pray and plead in Jesus' name. Amen.